ITS Coffee Break for Wednesday, November 4th, 2009.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we are going to talk about a faculty member who got an essay published on using digital audio in teaching American poetry. We'll announce the location for HackDoc Fest 5 for Moodle. We're beginning to evaluate Windows 7. And in technology news, we'll mention our people who are at EduCalls right now and also talk about a DARPA challenge.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name's Ken Nyquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we're back in less than 6 months' time.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So thanks to our at least 11 followers.
That's right.
We know there's at least 11 of you. Well, probably 10 plus Ken.
That's because we set up FeedBurner.
We did.
So now we're monitoring our stats.
So we can see. So please, if you like us and you listen to us, tell a friend. Tweet us.
And subscribe to our RSS feed.
Yeah. Well, in ITS news, the first thing I wanted to mention was just kind of mad props to Chris Phillips. Chris Phillips is an instructor in the English department, a faculty member, excuse me. Chris has been doing some really cool stuff since he's been here. And one of the projects that we worked on over the last year or so is having his poetry course, essentially, having them use digital audio in the class. And he actually did a presentation over the summer and then wrote an essay based on that presentation material about the title of his I Hear America Reading, Using Digital Audio in Teaching American Poetry. So we'll have a link in the show notes to where you can find that in the journal. But, you know, it's just really interesting to read from his perspective about how using digital audio was transformative for his students.
And the idea here was basically to have the students read the poetry and then he could correct them as to how they were reading it, right?
Well, they were making the judgments on how it should be read. And so you'll see that the students made changes throughout time based on feedback they were receiving from their peers. So it gave them a chance to record the poem and then let their peers listen to it. And then they could go back and make changes if they needed to based on their interpretations or changes in their interpretation. So it's really interesting. And I just, you know, always like to point out when our faculty are doing cool stuff in conjunction with us.
Yeah.
So, and there are a lot of them, actually, this semester. So,
Other ITS news, we have HackDoc Fest 5 coming up, this is Moodle HackDoc Fest 5. And we might have talked about this just before our previous podcasts back in the spring. But basically, HackDoc Fest is where a bunch of coders and instructional technologists from different colleges get together to work to improve Moodle. And we're going to be hosting it here at Lafayette College in January, from January 5th to 7th. And I'm looking forward to it. It's usually a heck of a lot of work, but it's usually a lot of fun, too. So it's really cool to be able to get together with, you know, smart, motivated people from other colleges and work together on this common project. And also save me a lot of time and energy, because it's one of those opportunities where you can get together with your peers and really just kind of, you know, do more than you could have done by yourself.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll also be test driving Moodle 2, hopefully, which is scheduled for release by the end of the year.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully the beta will be out in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be able to throw it up and actually take a good look at it.
So that'll be cool to see what functionality, you know, changes are better and what things still need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, because that'll be hopefully our next HackDoc Fest then in June would probably be beating up on Moodle 2. So
yeah, that's perfect. So speaking of beating up on things, in other ITS news, we are evaluating Windows 7. So I think the help desk received their first call from a student who was on a Windows 7 machine. So we are evaluating it. Basically, what happens with a new release of an operating system is that we sit down generally and just test our own applications in the operating system. So for instance, we'll go in and we'll do things in Moodle to see if everything shows up right. We'll install the Lafayette toolbar on the browser and make sure that works. We will go through and NAC it just like a student normally would in the dorm. We'll do all the, you know, connections to Novell, things like that, just to try and see where
and
it breaks.
And common applications that people might be using on their desktop, too, just to see, you know, right. Does it still work? So
our goal is just to make sure it's compatible with, you know, common campus applications and network services. And so take a look online to keep track of the evaluation status if that is something that interests you.
Yeah, it'll be posted to its.lafayette.edu. So last week we talked about Google Wave and the cool stuff you can do with Google Wave, but we didn't actually have Google Wave accounts.
And guess what? We have Google Wave! Mad props to Brian Alexander for giving me an invite.
And Jason Friswald, actually, in Network Services, is the one who landed me my invite. So
thank you to both of you guys. We have Google Wave. Now, we still have no idea what to do with it.
Right. And we've had to explain it to people over and over again. So we kind of know what you're supposed to do with it. But we haven't actually sat down and tried to use it. Although I've got a couple ideas kicking around in my head.
Yeah, so I'm sure, you know, by the next one we'll have something that we've...
I think maybe we should go to lunch, you, me, and Jason Alley, and just kind of, you know...
See what we can do.
Just kind of poke around, throw some stuff in there. I was playing with it last night. And I can see some potential for it, you know, but it's really one of those things that we really couldn't play with it until we had the three of us
had accounts.
So I think that's pretty cool. And, well, we'll keep you guys up to date.
Yeah. So if anyone listening has worked with it and has brilliant ideas about how we might use it in an educational setting, please drop us a comment in the show notes. We'd love to hear about those stories.
Yeah. Although I got to say, like, there's a lot of places in this. I mean, this is like alpha software.
Right.
I mean, it's one step past they just coded it, right? So, I mean, it's like there's places where you're surfing along and it's like, you know, this goes here kind of thing. Like, under construction type things.
Yeah,
like,
we're used to that.
Yeah, totally. So, but it's just funny because, I mean, if you're not, like, really interested into trying out new technology and kind of, like, braving your own way, you should not be doing Google Wave because it is not ready for prime time yet. But we're going to have fun with it.
Yeah. So, I guess in other tech news, the big buzz this week is EDUCAUSE, the National EDUCAUSE Conference.
Yes.
Well, international, I guess, which is being held in Denver, Colorado. So, I guess I'm the boss right now.
You are.
By sort of weird de facto or something. But John O'Keefe is out there. My husband's out there. So everyone's doing EDUCAUSE, and we're staying home.
We're staying home doing a podcast for you guys.
That's right. So hopefully you'll have some entertainment on your flight home.
That's right.
Flight there if you haven't left yet. So we'll look forward to reading tweets and information about what's going
on. Someday we'll come up with a killer presentation and go to EDUCAUSE.
That's right.
Not this year.
Yeah, not this year.
So actually, talking about Google, there is another big Google thing happening this week. Because I think every podcast has to mention Google. But this week, Google Droid is coming out, or the new Droid is coming out, which is Motorola and who else is doing it?
Oh,
I can't remember. But in any case, the Droid is running Android 2.0, which is the latest version of Google's mobile operating system for phones and smartphones and stuff. And this one's supposed to, I mean, everybody's like, oh, it's an iPhone killer, right? Just like the iPod killers. But, you know, I think from what I've seen as far as functionality goes, this one actually comes close.
Yeah, so we'll see. So if anyone gets a Droid and you're on campus, stop by. Let us look at it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people around here with iPhones. Not so many people around here with Droid phones. And, you know, the first wave of these, you know, a bunch of people ran out and got it. And I think they were kind of frustrated with it. So I think this new OS, from what I've seen, it could do some interesting things.
It's a little more slick, yeah.
I'd like to see how it goes. Now, in completely off-the-wall crazy stuff, we have to turn to DARPA, which is, oh man, it's the defense... Well, it's basically the research arm of the U.S. military, right? So they do all the crazy stuff. They helped invent the internet, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they also kind of had these oddball projects that come up. Like, you know, I think one of the ones that they had not too long ago was a robot rally across the desert. So the first robotic car that could make it across this desert raceway would win, right? And you were trying to do it, you know, who drove fastest, who actually survived, you know, because we need robot cars. Now what they're doing is, to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the internet, DARPA has issued a challenge. Find 10 large red balloons hidden around the United States and win $40,000.
So do you have to collect all 10 of them to get the money?
You have to find all 10.
So one person is going to find all 10? Or no, collectively? So like a lottery kind of pool?
Well, no, it's more like, I think it's the first people to report where all 10 locations of these balloons are wins.
Where they are.
Where
you don't have
are.
To actually go.
No, you don't physically go and get the balloons. Okay. This is somewhere, I mean, and they're supposed to be visible from like roads and stuff. So they're large red balloons. And the idea
basically we're thinking that social networking is what's going to get this done, right?
Exactly. So register.com actually had an article about it. And I've seen like ThinkGeek was talking about it on Twitter, which ThinkGeek is like a geek apparel store and toy store and that kind of stuff. But they're like, we can totally do this, right? Because the thought was, well, how actually will they do it? You know, will people form Facebook groups to do this? Will they organize on Twitter to try and do it? How the heck do you find this stuff? And, you know, what kind of technology could be used to find it? So I think it's pretty cool. I'm interested to see how they actually do it.
It will be interesting. Yeah, so we'll keep you posted.
So in Help News this week, I thought we would do something a little bit different. And we'll actually kind of go back to something we used to do, which was give like actual help tips. Right. So I kind of want to get back to that. And the idea here is I just want to kind of walk people through different WordPress plugins and talk about, you know, things that they may not have seen yet out of the box. So the first one I want to talk about is PowerPress, which is a plugin for from a company called Blueberry that supports audio and video podcasting. And we are using it for the ITS Coffee Break, so it seemed like a good one to start with.
Absolutely.
So basically what this does is it inserts an audio or video flash player onto the page so that people can listen to the podcast on your website. So like the old way on Soapbox when we used to do our podcast, you would link directly to the MP3 file or somebody would go to iTunes U and download it. Well, now they can actually just listen to it right on the page, which is kind of handy. But the other cool thing that it does is it allows you to really customize your RSS feed so that if you want to submit your feed to the iTunes music directory or the iTunes podcast directory, it's got everything that it needs in order to actually be included in that directory. So it's a really good tool for just kind of organizing your podcasts and getting them out there.
Now, doesn't it also, if you set up a Blueberry account, and I guess you could do it with Google Analytics as well, right? But you can do some stats tracking for your downloads?
Yes, you can. I haven't actually tried it yet. So I wanted to look into that a little bit more. Okay. Because you then end up getting listed in their podcast directory, and I wasn't sure if there were any gotchas there that we should know about. But yeah, it can do some stat tracking. And I know that there are some podcasting friends I have who use Blueberry and are using the statistics. It actually just showed up on one of the podcasters lists I belong to. So I wanted to ask them about it and see, you know, what their experiences have been. But, I mean, just from the functionality side, it works really cool and it's a nice little player. So, you know, if you're trying to give, you know, video or audio out to your students and you're uploading the files to our local server and stuff, I think it's a good solution for that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. So speaking of WordPress and things you can do with it, if you're on campus and you have not attended one of our fantastic WordPress workshops, I would highly recommend doing that because it's more likely than not that you will get roped into working on some website over the next year and a half. So we'd love for you to even just have a baseline understanding of what it is we're talking about.
And I think, I mean, certainly people have logged into WordPress and just started working with it. And, you know, if you're familiar with it and you can do it, that's great. But I think there's a lot of stuff that we've learned and there's a lot of things that we can just kind of show people that will make it just a lot faster.
Right. And then you don't get all crossways like a couple people have recently.
Right. Well, and
it's just nice to have
when you hit that kind of, everybody's going to hit that wall, right? Like you hit this question and you go, oh, I should probably ask a question about that.
Right.
Or you delete something and then something happens. And
yeah, that happens. So I guess in other workshops, I'm going to do a new session on using the smart boards. We have several of these around campus, and most recently we have one installed in Scott Hall 104, which is part of our Dean of the College and Teaching and Learning Center. So check the ITS calendar for session times and details. We should be adding a few of those in the next couple weeks.
Cool. So that'll about do it for this edition of the ITS Coffee Break. We are always looking for feedback. You can send it to us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. You can stop by our webpage at sites.lafayette.edu/coffeebreak and post a comment on this here show notes page. And those are the pretty much the two ways you can contact us. So please stop by, let us know what you think, and we'll be back soon.